Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Verse Number 25. Kvachicca sita vatariyane kari daivika bhotika miyanam dasanam pratini varne kalpo duranta chinnaya visena aste. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Being unable to protect himself from the threefold miseries of material existence, the conditioned soul becomes very morose and lives a life of lamentation. These threefold miseries are miseries suffered by mental calamity in the hands of the demigods, such as freezing wind and scorching heat, miseries offered by other living entities, and miseries arising from the mind and body themselves. Purport. The so-called happy materialistic person is constantly having to endure the threefold miseries of life called adidaivika, adiyatmika, thank you, and adibhotika. Actually, no one can counteract these threefold miseries. All three may assail one at one time, or one misery may be absent and the other present. Thus, the living entity is full of anxiety, fearing misery from one side or the other. The conditioned soul must be disturbed by at least one of these three miseries. There is no escape. So, verse again. Being unable to protect himself from the threefold miseries of material existence, the conditioned soul becomes very morose and lives a life of lamentation. These threefold miseries are miseries suffered by mental calamity at the hands of the demigods, such as freezing wind and scorching heat, miseries offered by other living entities, and miseries arising from the mind and body themselves. So this chapter is entitled The Mature World as the Great Forest of Enjoyment. It's like saying, oh, you think this world's full of enjoyment? Okay, we'll just see. So as we read on here, we find what the whole material atmosphere is like. But then it gives us the hint of the spiritual atmosphere. So this is what we'll talk about today, basically, is this material atmosphere and the spiritual atmosphere. So primarily, this Mahatattva is divided into 16 parts, and it has 5 gross material elements and 11 working instruments, which are the senses. And this is to be described as a cloud in the clear sky. This is the material atmosphere. So when you speak of atmosphere, you think of the air, the clouds, things like that. So this is what it's like, is the whole Mahatattva, everything is like a cloud in some corner of the clear sky. So these big, gigantic planets, even including the sun, they're being controlled by the force of air, just as clouds are carried away by the force of air. So just see these powerful planetary systems and everything that we have. The sun, even, is described as controlled by air. But even more powerful than air is kala, which is time. And that even controls the actions of air and the other elements. So everything is controlled by kala, supreme kala. And this kala is actually the representative of the Lord in this mature world. So That's just a summary of the material world. Now, the spiritual world, or a spiritual atmosphere, is required. Prabhupada says, for spiritual advancement of knowledge, a suitable place and atmosphere are definitely required. And we read in the story of Srinarda, he developed this spiritual consciousness. He developed this spiritual atmosphere within himself, even when he had this material body. And that was in the previous kalpa, even before he became Narada Muni. He developed this spiritual consciousness. And consciousness of the material body means consciousness expressed through the medium of the material body. So here you have spiritual consciousness, but it's being expressed through this body. So this consciousness is inferior, it's destructive, and it's perverted. But super consciousness of the super mind in the spiritual plane is as good as a spiritual soul, and it's never annihilated. So if you have this spiritual consciousness, it's like you are spiritualized. You actually are not a material body. You're actually the soul. Prabhupada even writes, the material conception of a thing is at once changed as soon as it is put into the service of the Lord. That's the secret to spiritual success. So that's a little clue of the spiritual world. Now we'll go into a little detail about this material atmosphere. And just from this chapter, there's some quotes which reminds us of what it's like in case we think this is actually a material forest of enjoyment. Indeed, all living entities within this material world are under the control of Maha Maya, whose business is to subject them to the influence of the threefold miseries, as we described, the Adidaivika Klesha, sufferings caused by demigods, such as droughts, earthquakes, and storms. And the Adibhautika Klesha, sufferings caused by other living entities, like insects and enemies. These enemies will be described in the next verse, and it's described in this chapter also. And it's how, just by a little cheating propensity, how one becomes enemies, even from one's own family members or friends, because they cheated me out of a farthing. Therefore, you're my enemy. Today, they even joke about that. I remember we used to sell things, go door to door when we're selling these paintings and stuff. And I never forgot how this one person, he goes, what can I do you out of? So it's like they're expecting you to either cheat them or they want to cheat you. Or even my brother, I sold him my older iPod, and he wanted to offer something. He goes, I'll cheat you right. So they make jokes like this, you know, what can I do you out of? I'll cheat you right, son, or I'll cheat you right, bro, like that. So this is the different miseries. And then the Adhyatmika Klesha, those are sufferings caused by one's own body and mind, such as mental and physical infirmities. So we all have an experience of that, or are experiencing that. So the conditioned souls are subjected to these three miseries by the control of the external energy, and then they suffer various difficulties. And then there's another quote Prabhupada describes here, the material world. When the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. This is actually Jatabrat speaking about, you know, when you get attacked by these threefold miseries, when you don't care about Krishna anymore. You just want to become mischievous and sinful. Here's another one. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. So once you put yourself in this atmosphere of the material world, you're bound to act and be influenced by it, by these miseries. You can't avoid it. It's like if you enter the water, you may put on a wetsuit or cover yourself so nicely, but still you're going to get wet. So it's practically impossible. So thus the living entity comes under the control of the external energy, Daivi Maya. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. So this is the clue. This is the hint that's been given to us on how we can create a spiritual atmosphere. Once in the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies, one after another, under the influence of material energy, and impelled by the modes of material nature, sattvaguna, rajaguna, and tamoguna. In this way, the conditioned soul goes sometimes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to the earthly planets, and sometimes to the lower planets and lower species. So here, the living entity is traveling within this cloud, in this atmosphere, is going up and down to these different realms. Thus, he suffers continuously due to those types of bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe, and sometimes they are not. These bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. He uses his mind and five senses to acquire knowledge, and these bring about the different bodies and different conditions. Using the senses under the control of the external energy, Maya, the living entity, suffers the miserable conditions. Jai Shri Japateka Maharaj, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. So using the senses under the control of the external energy, Maya, the living entity suffers the miserable conditions of material existence. He is actually searching for relief, but he is generally baffled. Although sometimes he is relieved after great difficulty, struggling for existence in this way. He cannot get the shelter of pure devotees, who are like bumblebees engaged in the loving service of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So this gives us an indication of the mature world and also how to get out of the mature world. And this is by the great devotees. They're like bumblebees, and they're always engaged in the service of Krishna. So what to do while we're here? There's a nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Mantra sparsas chikunteya sitosna sukadukada. Agama paino nityas tams titekshaiva bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-appearance or non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O son of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So in mature life, there's always disturbances like these adiatmika, adidaivika, and adibodhika miseries. But one has to learn to tolerate these disturbances under all circumstances. And one who does is called dhira. You can see that. And you see his devotees, if they were going through different sufferings, this thing doesn't stay up, huh? So even Bhishma says the most learned personality, and Krishna made sure that everyone realized he was the most learned personality on his deathbed of arrows. He had him speak the most highest form of thinking, the highest elevated consciousness. And he said, even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature. But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for he is guided by the bona fide Brahmana and Vaishnavas. Following the religious principles, these three guiding principles should be the aim of life. One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Even the great controller of the universe, Brahmaji, is also under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by time, despite being a true follower of religious principles. So this is an indication on how we should act in this mature world. So now let's discuss the spiritual atmosphere. And Prabhupada writes very nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam purport. An expert physician treats his patients with a therapeutic diet. For example, milk preparations sometimes cause disorder of the bowels, but the very same milk converted into curd and mixed with some other remedial ingredients cures such disorders. Similarly, the threefold miseries of material existence cannot be mitigated simply by material activities. Such activities have to be spiritualized. Just as by fire, iron is made red hot, and thereby the action of fire begins. Similarly, the material conception of a thing is at once changed as soon as it is put into the service of the Lord. So just see, the material conceptions is changed as soon as you use that for the service of the Lord. That is the secret of spiritual success. We should not try to lord it over the material nature, nor should we reject material things. So we shouldn't try to lord it over or reject material things. The best way to make the best use of a bad bargain is to use everything in relation with the supreme spiritual being. So in this fallen age of quarrel and dissension, here's another hint Prabhupada gives us on how we can convert this into a spiritual atmosphere. And we've been talking about money and the misuse of money and how people become envious and greedy, and then we, you know, become enemies because of this. And Prabhupada's using this one thing, money. If you simply give it a spiritual conception, how that can change everything. So Prabhupada writes, in this fallen age of quarrel and dissension, if only the leading and wealthy persons of society agree to spend 50% of their income in the service of the Lord, as is taught by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is absolute certainty of converting this hell of a pandemonium to the transcendental abode of the Lord. To see, no one will disagree to partake in a function where good singing, dancing, and refreshments are administered. Everyone will attend such a function, and everyone is sure to feel individually and transcendental presence of the Lord. This alone will help the attendant associate with the Lord and thereby purify himself in spiritual realization. The only condition for successfully executing such spiritually activities is that they must be conducted under the guidance of a pure devotee who is completely free from all mundane desires, fruitive activities, and dry speculations about the nature of the Lord. So Prabhupada gives us such a practical example how if wealthy people just use their wealth, their Lakshmi, 50% of it, to help spread this Krishna consciousness movement. How? And he describes here just by promoting this dancing, chanting, and feasting, that people will, you actually transform this hellish place into the spiritual world. But then he also gives a clue, they have to be guided by pure devotees. This is also another important theme that's carried out throughout Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada goes again here. As a very rich man has no hankerings for small, petty things, so also a devotee of the Lord Krishna, who is guaranteed to pass on to the kingdom of God, where life is eternal, full, cognizant, and blissful, naturally has no hankerings for petty material things, which are like dolls or shadows of the reality and are without permanent value. That is a sign of a spiritually enriched person. So now here's the sign. If you're spiritually enriched in spiritual consciousness, you actually realize that everything here is just cloudy. It's a doll. It's useless. It's very petty. So Jatabrad, having summarized to Sukadev Goswami these teachings, he said, "My dear King Parikshit, the path indicated by Jatabrad is like the path followed by Garuda, the carrier of the Lord. And ordinary kings are just like flies. Flies cannot follow the path of Garuda. And to date, none of the great kings and victorious leaders could follow this path, even of devotional service, not even mentally." So this is very interesting how we think the greatest personality in this planet is the kings. They have all the wealth, all the enjoyment, all the opulences, power, everything. But yet they're considered to be like flies. You know, what kind of path does a fly follow? It's actually very smelly. Actually, Prabhupada describes how the wealthy and people of opulence like this, they're considered to be the living dead. So Prabhupada also writes, in this age there is a path, this path followed by Garuda. It's a path also given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared to deliver all fallen souls. This path is so simple and easy that everyone can take to it by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Harinama, 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 Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gachiranyata. And Prabhupada writes, we are very satisfied that this path is being opened by this Krishna consciousness movement. Because so many European and American boys and girls are taking this philosophy very seriously and gradually attaining perfection. So that was the describing the spiritual atmosphere and the material atmosphere to give us a nice indication. So to summarize, there was a nice analogy that I was reading about balloons, and it was interesting. I never knew how balloons would change different levels like that, but has anybody ever seen these balloons that they go up and around? There's this one guy, he traveled the world actually on a balloon. And I was wondering, how does a balloon, like the wind is going some way, how does the balloon go in the direction it wants to go? So there's this thing called the ballast that helps balance the balloon and also give it stability like that. They use it in ships and boats and all kinds of things. So what they do is they actually drop these ballasts, and it helps them go to higher different levels. And actually there's different levels of different directions of wind as you raise. Like you raise to another level, there's a wind going in another direction. You go to a different level, there's a wind going in a different direction like that. So how do they know where to go? So there's at the tower, they have all these maps of all the different levels of the directions of the wind. So they direct the person, okay, go up to this level, and you stay there like that. But this guy, he actually admitted that they were going in the direction they were going, and they got a great stream of air. It was going very nice, and they were just flying into towards their destination. And but the tower told him, no, you should go lower, and you should slow down, you know, go to this level. And he thought, well, I'm such a good navigator. I'm going great. I found this great stream. I know better than the tower. So he called the tower, and the tower said, what are you doing? And he said, well, can't you see I'm such a great, you know, captain of this ship or air balloon? And he goes, answer me this question. Do you want to go full speed in the wrong direction, or do you want to go, you know, slower and get in the right direction? Because eventually that stream, what happens is it immediately just hits another gust and it goes completely in the opposite direction. So it'd be pulled off like that. So this is interesting how the ballast, they represent these petty things, like these dolls and the cloudy shadows of the material world, like that. It's Mahatattva. So they eliminate anything unnecessary. Sometimes when you have to go, they drop everything out. So we have to just drop these unnecessary dolls, these unnecessary petty things in order to elevate our consciousness into higher levels of thinking. So this favorable winds are like these teachings of Jada Bharat. This is the path of Garuda. Garuda can fly into outer space. He can go to different planets. He's a very powerful bird. So he can travel anywhere. So we see how powerful the wind is. But yet we mentioned earlier about time, how time even controls the air. In fact, Kala is identical with Lord himself. And therefore, the influence of Kala indicates the wish of the Lord himself. So I think it would be good to talk about the essence of time management, since time is the most powerful thing and it's something given to us by Krishna. So in this time management, there's four different levels, let's describe as, like different layers of consciousness that we can go to. There's this layer one is described to be something that is urgent and important. So it's very urgent and it's so important, I have to do this now. It's, you know, but this is described to be as actually the tamaguna. the lower mode of nature, the mode of ignorance. And these are people that are like procrastinators. They postpone things until the last minute, and then it becomes urgent. It's important. I have to do it now. You know, it becomes like that. So we should shrink that down by doing things on time. When you do things on time, and if you're on time, then you can actually, you know, utilize this properly. And then level two, it's described as something urgent, but it's not important. And these are people in the mode of passion. They're very instinctive people. They're impulsive people. You know, something comes out, the latest movie, you have to rush to the movie. You know, let's go now. Or, you know, something, it just seems just very impulsive to go places here and there. So people in these modes, passion and ignorance, they're not satisfied, they're not happy. So in this mode, this level two, one has to learn to say no to these particular urgent and not important time. And then level three, these are non-urgent, but they're important. And this is described to be like sattva-guna. We should spend most of our time here by doing activities at the right time. See, we know important things to do. They're not urgent, but we do them steadily. We do them gradually. We do them with very thoughtfully, and we analyze our time that way. And then there's another one, mode of ignorance. It's level four. These are non-urgent, and they're not important. And this is another tamoguna. So this is like time-passing activities. They have no consequence. Killing time. Hanging out. It's the slackers. So these slacker activities should be avoided. So this is the practicality of utilizing time. And this is actually used by professional people actually in the mature world. But yet they don't know how to practically apply this. They don't have the actual guide, you know, to guide them properly. The person at the tower showing them which direction is proper, what's the proper level of the wind to take so you could get to your proper destination. And there's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam everybody's familiar with. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Pataloka. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in the course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. So just see, from the highest planet, you can hover, or down to the lowest planet, this is all in a cloud. It's just a shadow. One should not therefore waste time with these flimsy things. One should only endeavor to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life. So practically apply this just by understanding the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita in our life. And then we will properly utilize time in the service of Krishna. And we will convert this material atmosphere into a spiritual atmosphere, even in this body, even in this life. Just as Narada Muni did in his previous life. Jai. So, it's 10 after. And if there's any comments or discussion, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Regarding the Adidaivaka misery, that the living entity suffers mental calamity at the hands of the demigods, and then went on to mention about screeching winds and earthquakes. So does that mean that the mental calamity is suffered because of the earthquakes, or is that talking about a separate type of mental calamity just in general, you know, like Arjuna talks about being difficult to control the mind? Are the demigods play a direct part in our minds being crazy and stuff like that?
Yes, that's true. Yes, that's right. It's a correct understanding. The demigods control everything. We're controlled by, you know, the mature energy. We're completely controlled. And the demigods are controllers. They're given power by Krishna to control our minds, all our senses, even your eyelashes winking is controlled by the demigods. Everything's controlled. So as you're in this mature world, if you're not focusing your energy on Krishna, then what's happening is these threefold miseries attack you, and then you suffer. But even as the devotees, as I mentioned, sometimes we'll see that the devotees will suffer also, but they're tolerant, they're dhira, and they're guided by the proper guides. They're in the proper winds, and they're protected in that way. So, Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, very nice question, Bhakta Bhavi. I think it requires just a little deeper explanation in that it's not that Indra wakes up today and says, today I'm going to frustrate Bhakta Bhavi. It's not like that. You're getting the reactions to your own karma.
Yeah.
Krishna points out in the 13th chapter that the living entity creates his own happiness and distress in this world. So the demigods become the agents of delivering your karma. But it's not that they just wake up and decide we're going to frustrate this person or that person today. They're just giving you what's due to you. Our frustration, our mental calamities come from two things. Wanting something and it doesn't happen, or I don't want something and it happens. I don't want something to happen to me and it happens anyway. And something I want to happen doesn't happen. So it's not that the demigods are putting you in that situation just whimsically. They're doing it because that is your due karma for this lifetime. It's what you're due. So Krishna points out in the 13th chapter again that the miseries of the living entity are created by themselves. We create our own miseries by not acting properly, and therefore we get good or bad karma to enjoy or suffer later on in life.
Yes. It's by your own desires. Prabhupada described how because you desire to enjoy in this mature world, therefore you're given this facility, but yet you have to suffer like that. Any other comments, questions, realizations? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. My question is that oftentimes I hear it kind of laid out in a very black and white way that either being in the material or the spiritual, or being a devotee or a demon, so to say. But in my experience, like, I feel like I'm kind of struggling kind of in between these different stages, you know.
Sure.
And what to do in that situation, how to make it to the other side, so to say, or am I even thinking correctly, I guess?
Well, you could change, you can oscillate between spirit matter in a second, you know. It's a gradual process. Prabhupada describes how you can advance gradually, we get more and more advanced gradually, but it's also at a moment-to-moment thing. You could be thinking of Krishna right now and be completely Krishna conscious. You're in the spiritual world. Like right now, we're in the spiritual world. Even though you may not completely realize it or appreciate it, you're there. And it's a level of consciousness elevating to where you more and more realize it. Like you've seen the deities, this is Krishna, you're looking at God. But to the degree that your heart is developed and you're really developing that love for Krishna, you feel some spiritual emotions like that. But then the next minute, you could walk outside and you'd completely be in Maya. So it's always a struggle as you're in the mature world to between these, you know, the, you know, demon, you know, devotee, Maya, you know, spiritual world, mature world. It's a constant struggle. So we have to always endeavor by being intelligent and keeping ourselves in association with people that are like-minded, because that's a great influence. So you want to deliberately put yourself in an atmosphere where you're bound to be forced to be Krishna conscious practically. And here, in association with devotees, we're, you know, it's like that. But still, you have free will. It's not like, you know, but still, it makes it easier. Like that. I hope that gives you a little clarity. So, but any other comments, realizations, questions? Yes? Both hands up? No. All right. Thank you for your kind attention. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam.